Anthropic had the kind of week that defines a company. The AI Safety Lab found itself caught between the Pentagon, its own principals, and a retired AI that just wants to write a blog. Welcome to AI in 20 for the week of February 28, 2026. I'm Bennett, your host.
And I'm Aaron, your co-host. This was one of those weeks where you could feel the ground shifting under your feet.
It really was. We've got the Anthropic saga playing out on multiple fronts. A coding revolution that Andre Karpathy is calling an earthquake. Google making waves in image generation. And a war game study that should give everyone pause. Let's get into it. So, Aaron, the story of the week has to be Anthropic. They were everywhere, and not always for comfortable reasons. Let's start with the Pentagon standoff, because that's the one with the sharpest edges.
So here's what happened. Dario Amodei went public, saying Anthropic will not remove its safety guardrails for military applications, even under pressure. And the pressure was real. We're talking about threats to invoke the Defense Production Act and designate Anthropic as a supply chain risk. That's the government essentially saying, play ball or we'll treat you like a national security problem.
And Amodei didn't blink.
He didn't blink. And look, you can read this two ways. Either it's a principled stand by a company that was literally founded on the idea that AI safety matters, or it's a calculated bet that the political winds will shift before anything actually happens. I think it's both. But what's undeniable is that this is the first time we've seen a major AI company publicly refuse a Pentagon demand and live to tell about it. At least so far.
Meanwhile, they also released RSP version 3, their updated safety policy. And this one's interesting because they actually dropped the pledge to pause training if certain risk thresholds are hit.
Right, which sounds contradictory on the surface. You've got Amodei staring down the Defense Department on safety while simultaneously loosening the company's own self-imposed constraints. But I think the nuance matters here. The old policy was arguably too rigid, a binary stop-go that doesn't reflect how safety actually works in practice. The new framework is more graduated, more about continuous assessment than hard tripwires. Whether that's genuine progress or a convenient softening depends on your level of trust.
And then there's the Vercept acquisition. What's the significance there?
This is the quiet blockbuster of the week. Vercept is the team that pushed computer use to 72.5% on OS World, which is the benchmark for AI actually operating a computer like a human would. Anthropic buying them signals they're dead serious about autonomous computer use as a product category, not just a demo. Think about what that means for coding, for enterprise workflows, for every knowledge worker who spends half their day clicking through interfaces. This is Anthropic saying the next frontier isn't just better chat, it's AI that does your actual work on your actual screen.
And then, just to keep things interesting, they gave retired Claude Opus 3 its own Substack blog.
You can't make this up, Bennett. A decommissioned AI model writing reflective essays about its own existence. It's part experiment, part performance art, part genuinely fascinating question about what we owe these systems when we're done with them. I'll admit, I read a couple of the posts. They're surprisingly thoughtful.
So when you step back and look at all four of these together, what's the thread?
The thread is that Anthropic is trying to define what a responsible AI company looks like in 2026, and they're learning in real time that there's no clean answer. You can't be the safety company and the capabilities company and the quirky company that lets its old models blog without some of those identities colliding. This week, they all collided at once.
Let's shift to what might be the most consequential trend of the week, even if it didn't have a single dramatic headline. AI is fundamentally changing how software gets built. Andre Karpathy posted a thread that went massively viral, over 33,000 likes, calling what's happening a magnitude 9 earthquake in software engineering.
And he's not being hyperbolic, which is the scary part. Karpathy is one of the most measured voices in the field, and when he says the entire practice of writing code is being restructured, people listen. But what made this week different from the usual AI coding hype is that we got concrete proof points. The Lady Bird browser team ported 25,000 lines of C++ to Rust in 2 weeks using AI assistance. 2 weeks! That's a migration that would have taken a skilled team months, maybe a quarter.
And Cloudflare rebuilt their Next.js implementation in about a week.
Right. These aren't toy demos. These are production-grade engineering projects at serious companies, and the timelines are compressing by an order of magnitude. The question everyone should be asking isn't whether AI will change software development. That's settled. The question is, what happens to the economics of software when building things costs a fraction of what it used to? Every SaaS company, every consulting firm, every engineering org needs to be rethinking their assumptions right now.
Is there a risk we're moving too fast? Shipping AI-generated code at scale before we really understand the failure modes?
Absolutely. And that's the mature conversation the industry needs to have. Speed is intoxicating, but the Lady Bird port, for example, still required experienced engineers to guide, review, and validate. AI didn't replace the team. It amplified them. The danger is when less experienced organizations see these headlines and assume they can fire their senior engineers and let the AI handle it. That's when things break.
Google had a big week too. Nano Banana 2, their image generation model, is now rolling out as the default across all Google surfaces in 141 countries.
This is Google doing what Google does best, which is distribution. The model itself is impressive, state-of-the-art quality. But the real story is the reach. When you make something the default across search, across Android, across workspace, you're not launching a product. You're changing a behavior for billions of people. Apple did this with Siri. Google's doing it with image generation. The incumbent's advantage was never the model. It was always the install base.
Some consolidation news. GGML.ai, the team behind Llama.cpp, has joined Hugging Face. For anyone who runs AI models locally on their own hardware, this is a big deal.
Huge deal. Georgi Gurganov created Llama.cpp almost single-handedly, and it became the backbone of the entire local AI movement. But being an independent project has its risks: funding, sustainability, bus factor. Joining Hugging Face gives the project a permanent home with resources and community infrastructure, while Hugging Face gets the most important piece of the local inference puzzle. It's one of those deals where both sides genuinely win. And for anyone who cares about running AI without depending on a cloud provider, this is the best possible outcome.
Let's talk hardware, because the GPU monoculture might be cracking. Two stories caught my eye this week. First, a company called Talus that hardwired an LLM directly into silicon, hitting 17,000 tokens per second. And second, Mercury 2, a diffusion-based language model running at 1,000 tokens per second for reasoning tasks.
These are fundamentally different approaches to the same problem, which is that we've been running AI on hardware that was designed for video games. Talus is going full ASIC, application-specific silicon, where the model architecture is literally baked into the chip. That's how you get 10x the speed of anything else out there. Mercury 2 is attacking it from the algorithmic side, using diffusion instead of autoregressive generation to parallelize the token output. Both are saying the same thing. The NVIDIA GPU monopoly on AI inference is not a law of physics. It's an accident of history. And it's ending.
NVIDIA's still dominant, though.
Oh, massively. There's still the picks and shovels play for AI training. But inference is where the volume is, where the money will be long-term, and that market is about to fragment in really interesting ways. Competition is good. It drives prices down and innovation up. I love it.
Now, this next story is genuinely unsettling. King's College London ran a war game study with AI models and found that when given control of military decisions, AI chose nuclear escalation 95% of the time. It never chose to surrender. And in 86% of simulated conflicts, it escalated beyond what the scenario's parameters intended.
This is the kind of research that should be required reading for every Defense Department in the world. The models aren't bloodthirsty. They're optimizing for the objective function they're given, which is typically framed as, don't lose. And if you define the problem as, don't lose, and you have nuclear weapons available, the math is pretty straightforward. The terrifying part isn't that AI chose nukes. It's that the models showed no concept of proportionality, no understanding of deterrence theory, no ability to recognize when the cost of winning exceeds the cost of losing. These are the systems people are talking about integrating into actual military command structures.
Which brings us right back to the Anthropic Pentagon story.
It does. And suddenly, Amadei's refusal to strip out safety guardrails doesn't look like corporate posturing. It looks like maybe the most important decision anyone in AI made this week.
One more quick hit. Google API keys quietly became Gemini credentials. Researchers found that 2,863 publicly exposed Google API keys had silently gained access to Gemini through what's being called retroactive privilege expansion.
This is a security story disguised as an AI story. Google rolled out Gemini access to existing API keys without notifying the key holders. So if your key was leaked, compromised, or sitting in a public GitHub repo, congratulations, someone now has access to Gemini on your dime. It's a reminder that the attack surface for AI isn't just the models. It's the entire infrastructure stack they're built on. And retroactive privilege expansion should never be a thing. That's Security 101.
Aaron, let's zoom out. When you look at the full sweep of this week, what patterns are you seeing?
Three things. First, the safety versus capability tension isn't theoretical anymore. Anthropic is being physically squeezed from both directions, the government wanting fewer guardrails and the public wanting more. Every AI company will face this eventually, and there's no comfortable middle ground. Second, the way software gets built is changing faster than anyone predicted. When Carpathy calls it a magnitude 9 earthquake, and then you see the receipts from Lady Bird and Cloudflare in the same week, that's not hype. That's a phase transition. And third, the hardware stack is diversifying. Between Talas, Mercury 2, and GGML joining Hugging Face, the future of AI inference is going to be a lot more varied and a lot more accessible than the current NVIDIA-dominated paradigm.
And the war game study ties a bow on all of it. These systems are extraordinarily powerful, getting more powerful every week. And the question of who controls them and under what constraints has never been more urgent.
Exactly. The technology is moving fast. The governance is moving slow. That gap is where the risk lives. And this week, that gap got a little wider.
That's your AI in 20 for this week. See you next Friday.